Blog Talk Radio.
Before I knew my name, before I drew a breath, He was making ways for me. Now and every day, in each and every step, He is making ways for me. When my heart is full of doubt, feels like faith is running out, come too far to turn around. I know God will work it out. God will work it out. What we not know, what we not know, God will work it out. Pushing past the fear, fighting to believe, He is making ways for me. And He won't let me down. He's still making ways for me. When my heart is full of doubt, it feels like pain is running out. I come to my heart to turn back out. Oh, God will work it out. God will work it out.
Oh.
Who am I that the Lord of all the earth care to know my name, care to feel my heart? Who am I that the bright and morning star choose to light the way my ever wandering heart? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because But because of what you've done, not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. Thank you.
than just a song. Every heart and every mind, he wants to can just who I am because I need him.
When I can't feel a thing, yes, when I think I am weak, do you think when I am foolish and when I don't believe, oh, you say you're paid out of me, so I what you say to me, I believe.
The only thing that matters now is everything you think of me. You are fine, my word, Winnie.
When I can't feel a thing, you say, when I think I'm weak, and you say, when I'm honest, when I don't believe, oh, you say, oh, and I believe, oh, I believe.
Me, aching more at heaven now I'm laying at your feet. You have everything that you have everything for me.
Oh, you say, when I can't feel a thing, you say, when I think I am weak, you say, when I'm unsure, when I don't believe, so you say, and I what you say to me, of you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me.
I like you.
Thank you. Oh, Hallelujah. All my life, he has been faithful. All my life, he has been so, so good. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We glorify your name. We exalt you, Jesus. And we are asking you, praying this morning, oh God, that you would keep us and yes, you would protect us from all hurt, harm, and danger, oh God. We surrender to you this morning, Jesus. And we are asking you, Lord Jesus, to continue to keep us safe and secure in the midst of all that's going on in this nation and in this world. We pray, Father God, for those that are out there that are facing all sorts of trials and tribulation. We pray now for Mother Humes from New York City, who is on her way to South Carolina. Her father is in the hospice, I believe, and he is just waiting patiently for the Lord to call him home. He's safe. He's sanctified. He's born again. He knows the Lord. So he don't have any fear. But all the family is at his bedside. So we pray for traveling mercy for her and her husband and her son that I believe is with her, her baby son that is with her on the way, that they would reach their destination safe and that they would return safe. Hallelujah. And if it's the Lord's will that he might call home a father today or tomorrow, whenever, that they all would be at peace with it, knowing that It is God's will, whatever he chooses to do. Father, we thank you today. We bless this word. We praise this word. And today, the Lord gave me this morning, this word the Lord gave me is without correction, there is no growth. We talk this a lot on Blog Talk. We say this word a lot, but we never preached it. He said, without correction, there is no growth. Here in the book of Isaiah, we were teaching a part of this book last week, or this week, I think it was Saturday, but we want to go into Isaiah chapter 1, and this time we're going to start at verse 21. I'm hearing a little cracking on the system. I hope that this microphone is not there. Some government people calling. We're not going to fool with them. They want donations. Isaiah chapter 1, beginning at verse 21. And we're going to go into the Logos and the King James. Isaiah chapter 1. We've got chapter 5 here, but let's go to chapter 1. We'll come back there. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen, 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 amen. Glory to God. Chapter 1 and verses 21 to, glory to God, 31. In this book, Isaiah hasn't gone there yet. Going back to 5. He says, how is the faithful city become an harlot? It was full of judgment, righteousness, and large in it, but now murderers. Thy silver is become dross. The wine mixed with water. Now he's seen that everything now has become diluted. I'm going to have to change my microphone. This microphone is sounding, got a little cracking in it. So give me a minute. Let me change over here. And we're talking about the subject matter is without correction, there is no growth. This is the subject matter for today. Without correction, there is no growth. Lord, give this to me this morning. So this is what we are. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on in. It's the name of the Lord Jesus. Sometimes it's a little rugged to get here. But here in the book of Isaiah chapter 1, verse 21, let's touch it again. King James Version. He said, how is the faithful city become a harlot? Or a whore, a prostitute. It was full of judgment, righteousness, large in it, but now murderers. The silver become dross. The wine mixed with water. Everything now is filthy, dirty, diluted. You understand? It's not pure. Hallelujah. There's no righteousness in it. So God is sending judgment. God is sending correction by the prophet. By the apostle, by the evangelist, by the teacher, God is sending lay people to release a word into the atmosphere that people might hear, people might take correction. But as we look north, south, east, and west, we see that people are rejecting correction. They don't want you to tell you what is right. They believe that wrong is right, and right is wrong. But you can't succumb to what they're saying and say, well, I'm not going to say nothing. You know, that's what a lot of people say today. I'm not going to say anything because it didn't bother me. It didn't worry me. You know, it's not troubling me. I was watching this guy on the morning show. It says it's called Make a Deal, Let's Make a Deal or something. And I always like the young man. He's very talented, Wayne Brady. And then last night he's on some program. He's very, very talented. Dance, sing, act, everything. He's very, very talented. Was on this show for years now. And last night, very handsome young man. I think he got one daughter. And he and the lady separated some years ago. But he take care of his daughter. They have a good relationship. And last night he came on and said that, you know, he don't have no problem with LGBT crew or whatever plus. He says because, you know, his desires for anything, if he sees something that he likes, regardless, he called himself, you know, they got all these names coming up too. You can't keep up with his name. They got one, he called himself a pansexual. And I said, what is pansexual? You've never heard these things, these names before. He said he's pansexual. That means that if he see a bisexual and he wants to be with a bisexual, he'll be with them. If he see a gay man or a gay woman, I said, my God, this man's a handsome man, very attractive. He can have any woman to be wife. He got plenty of money. He's a multimillionaire. But the world is telling the people that all of this filthy stuff that's going on, you hear what I'm saying? All this stuff that's going on is okay. They're saying it's okay. And they want you to be in agreement with sin. They want you to be in agreement with it. You as a man of God, as a woman of God, you cannot be in agreement with sin. It doesn't mean that you hate the man or hate the woman or so, but you just can't be in agreement with sin. And, you know, it's funny because when he said that stuff, you know, it just turned me off from watching him in the morning, you know, because it's a good relaxation for me seeing people playing these crazy games and getting the zunk and all that kind of stuff. But it just shows you how the world is changing, that the people that you thought was walking the right, you better take another look. Take another look because they're not walking upright. If they're not walking with Christ, and some of them are hollering for Jesus, some are shouting for Lord, some are hollering for Father, but don't listen to what they're saying. You better watch what they're doing. Watch what they're doing. Here in the book of Isaiah, he says, thy princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loveth gifts and falleth after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither does the cause of the widow come unto them. Therefore, saith the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, I will ease me of my adversary and avenge me of my enemies. God said, now, they're not taking care of the widows. They're not helping the fatherless. You know, they don't care about anything that's in need. They're not interested in helping the poor. But the Lord says, now he's going to avenge himself. He's going to ease himself of this burden that's coming before him. Remember we told you the other day, the Lord says that he asked them not to bring the all of the rams and lambs and all this stuff to the altar. He said that he wasn't receiving them. And not to burn incense because he's not receiving the burnt offerings and burnt sacrifices because he says it was too much a burden to him. And remember I said that as I was thinking about it, reminiscing about it, I was thinking to myself, how can the burden be too heavy for God? But the burden was sinful. So it was sinful burden, so God couldn't handle it. God could not, he was not going to handle it. He was not going to carry it on his shoulders. This is what God was saying. So we realize that the people today are in, we realize that the people are doing all of this stuff and it's not glorifying God. So God is saying to us, he said, now today, we must release a word of correction out of our mouth. Don't think that everything is okie-dokie, everything is kosher, because it looks kosher, it sounds well, it sounds good. No, you have to put out the word of God so people, even if they look good and they're messing up, they will be convicted in their heart. Hallelujah. You don't know, we don't know everything that everybody's doing. People are preaching, teaching, singing, dancing, playing the keyboard. I hear Pastor say one time he told the people, his congregation, to meet, greet each other with a kiss, a holy kiss. Hallelujah. And the man was watching some girl, some keyboard player watching some girl or the girl watching the keyboard player. And next thing you know, they get up and they're doing a French kiss. Everybody that, even though because they're playing the keyboard, playing the drums, the guitar, the trombone, the saxophone in the house of the Lord, that don't mean that they're walking after God. They may be getting a check from the pastor. After they're finished, they're going to the office to get a check for playing. You know what I'm saying? So that's what their ambition about. That's what their objective is to get that check. So we have to pay attention. Release the word of God that's going to convict them. If they're living contrary to the word of God, that the word of God will do the work that only the word of God can do. It will go there and it will cut them going in and cut them coming out. We have to do this. God is speaking to this prophet here. He says, and I will, verse 25, and I will turn my hand upon them and purely purge away the dross and take away all thy tin. Now you know if you know about the goldsmith or the, you know that when they put that gold or that tin, I used to when I would go to school, we used to go to a class, a tin class, and we used to learn how to take the cans, the milk cans, the evaporated milk cans and the coffee cans and all those little cans like that. And we was taught how to take part of the tin and we would make a handle and then we would rivet the handle on the side. It wouldn't leak at all. We would rivet the handle on the side and then we would give these cups made from tin cans to the poor people. And sometimes we would even have to put some tin and they would melt the tin. And you can see all this stuff comes to the top of the water and they have to dip it off. Then the principal would pour that stuff off and make a sheet of aluminum or tin to cut with his shears to make handles. Now here he talks about he going to scrape off the using this analogy. See, so when God comes and corrects us, we are sometimes like tin or we are like gold in the furnace. Remember Jeremiah chapter 18, the potter. We got to go. He is the potter, we are the clay. And sometimes what he'll do as the goldsmith, when he comes, he uses this analogy, he would put us in, we feel like we're in the furnace. But while we're in the furnace of correction, he is moving some things off of us, some things that had us or were holding us in bondage, in captivity. Hallelujah, in our mind, in our spirit, man. So God, remove these things from us. This is why you shouldn't reject correction. A lot of people, when the pastor preaches, say, well, the pastor's talking, and I'm not going back to that church. Because every time I go to that church, the pastor got to be talking. But the pastor not thinking about you. The pastor got a word from the Lord, and while he is preaching or she's preaching that word, God is pouring into the pastor while they're preaching. That's why you hear some of the preacher says, I just got to say this. Because I just heard it in my spirit. And it fits right into what the sermon that he's preaching or she's preaching, because God, the Holy Spirit, has already went through the congregation and he's searching all the hearts of the people and he knows exactly what people need to correct them to get them to the place of walking before him or right before him. So God said he's cleaning that stuff off of us. Glory to God. We have to come to this place, you and I. We have to get to that place that we know that we still need God to work on us. Hallelujah. You know, some people can get so holy and so pious that they forget that they're still in the clear. They're still in the clear jar.
And this clear giant still got a whole bunch of stuff going on with it. So this is why I'm teaching the Lord. Give this to me. I didn't get this till this morning. Till I say, you know what, I'm just not going to pop up a thing all the time. I'm just going to wait on God to tell me. This morning he says, without correction, there's correction, there's no growth. There's no growth. And most people don't want correction. They'll tell you, who you think you are. You're not my father. You're not my mama. You don't have the right to talk to me the way you're talking. But when they're behind the jail bar, you know, or when they're up in the hospital with some gunshots in them, they want to send down their mama, go down and call the pastor. I want the pastor to come down and pray with me because they don't want to die. And they don't want to stay in the jail. They want to come out. They want pastor to come down and say, pastor, pray that the judge going to be lenient with me. Hallelujah. They want you to come down to the hospital. But when you're trying to give them correction, you want to give them some correction so that they don't have to go get shot or they don't have to end up in the jailhouse. They don't want the correction. I thank God. My son, he's doing real well. And I thank God for all you God that prayed for him over the years. And he didn't spend a long time when he was there, but now he's been out for a long time now, you know. And he's doing well. And I bought him Chevy Avalanche, and, you know, was used, but it's in top shape. Looks like it was brand new. And he's doing well. He told me, he said, well, he's going to Richmond. He said, oh, Dad, he sent me a message yesterday. He says, I've been in Maryland doing some installation. You know, he does all these big, these football plays and stuff and basketball plays. They buy these big, gigantic homes, and they got the cinema downstairs. They got a movie cinema down in the basement. You know, and big giant place, you know, got all these the chairs just like in the cinema. They got the big 80-foot screen and 100-foot, 120-foot screen. He put them stuff in. And I said, Lord, I just please thank God, you know, because when you pray, and he took correction, because I had to talk to him. Talk to him like I talk to anybody else. Correction. And it's working for him now. It's working for him. See, he said, I will restore thy judges as at the first, and thy counselors as at the beginning. Afterward, thou shalt be called the city of righteousness. See, after correction, people look at you and you say, they say, "Whoa, you look so good." I've told the people on Sunday, I say, you would not believe that I was in Salvation Army for 11 months. One lady, eyes opened so big, she couldn't believe it. I said, yes, ma'am, I was in the Salvation Army. And when I was there, my family didn't want to see me. I mean, they'd come and look for me and bring me some cigarettes because I was smoking cigarettes. And they would bring me some Milky Ways, Snickers, because that's what I like. And Almond Joy. And go. I had to stay in there 11 months with men breaking gas and all kinds of stuff. You know, a lot of men on one floor. But I had to stay there and allow the Lord to correct me and chastise me and whip me and do everything he had to do to get me on the path of righteousness. People don't want to. A lot of people don't want to. You know, because they're so stuck on stupid, they don't want you to tell them the truth. When you tell them the truth, say, who you think you are? But after you get the truth, the Bible says, God says, after you take correction, he said, I will restore you, restore the judges as at first, and thy counselors as at the beginning. Afterward, thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Zion shall be redeemed with judgment. See, you got to have correction. Preaching this prosperity message, faith. Oh, you have faith for the mustard seed, you can have this. You can name it and claim it, it's yours. God wants you to have this. Yes, God wants you to have stuff, but God wants you to also walk holy. He wants you to walk pure. He wants you to be righteous before him. He wants you to be in right standing in the name of Jesus Christ before him. He wants you to be obedient to his word. God wants this. God desires this. That's why he said, I don't desire rams and incense and all that stuff. But what I'm looking for is obedience. What I'm looking for, righteousness. I'm looking for an altar that I can come and be at. That's what God's looking for. He wants to come at the altar of your heart and rest at the altar of your heart. Hallelujah. That's what God wants to be. God wants to be with you all the time, all hours of the day, all minutes, all seconds of the day. God wants to be with you. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Sometimes God can't enter us because we are so corrupt, we are so contaminated on the inside. He can't even enter in. Well, because we have put so much stuff inside of us that it contaminates the inside of us. And all he can do is just walk next to us, waiting for us to repent and turn to him, ask him to forgive us like David did in Psalm 51. He waiting for us to come and for us to say, Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit. Because we know that we are all messed up on the inside. But some of us are so selfless and hopeless, you can say, sometimes, that we don't even want to, we're so full of pride that we don't even want to bow down before the sovereign Lord and tell him. He already know, because he see everything. Then nothing happens on earth that heaven does not know. Hallelujah. We can laugh and we can lie to one another, but we can't lie to self and we can't lie to God. You can lie to your favorite brother preacher, you can lie to. Your favorite brother sister preacher, you can lie to. Even your wife, your children. But you can't lie to God and you can't lie to self. Listen what he says. This is Isaiah chapter 1. Listen what he says. Zion, verse 27. Zion shall be redeemed with judgment, and her converts with righteousness. And the destruction of the transgressors and of the sinners shall be together. And they shall forsake, they that forsake the Lord shall be consumed. Now you got to look at this and see what God is saying. God has a plan. He knows everything. And his plan is perfect. His plan is perfect. His plan is not man's plan. God's plan is his plan. And what we have to do is we have to start getting with the plan of God. We want to be with the plan of the preacher. We want to be the plan of the bishop, the apostle, the pastor, the teacher, the evangelist. We want to be have the plan of the preacher. But what you need to do, that's why you have to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You got to get into the word of God so you can hear what God is saying to you. Hallelujah. So you can hear the truth for yourself and not some watered-down truth that somebody's trying to put on you, giving you a half-truth. And remember, I said a half-truth is a lie. A half-truth is a lie. And a lot of folk are seeing that stuff because they want to entice the people to give more, you know. And so let me just say what I think they want to hear. No, what God is saying. Listen what he says. For there shall be a shame of the oaks which you have desired, and you shall be confounded for the gardens that you have chosen. For you shall be as an oak whose leaf fadeth, and as a garden that have no water. Lord God, have mercy. Woo, this is a sharp word right here. This is a sharp word right here. Do you hear what he said? Some folks are so puffed up, and they think they have all of this stuff going on. They don't need the God of our salvation. They don't want to hear nothing about Jesus. They think they have it, but God said all that stuff that you have is not going to mean a bag of beans to you when the day of judgment comes. He said, what he's saying? He said, and the strong shall be as tow, and the maker of it as is spark, and they shall both burn together, and none shall quench them. When you reject God, turn away from God, and refuse correction, you put yourself in a position to be burnt, to be consumed with the fire of hell. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 5. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 5. And we will start at, let's see what we had here for this. Glory to God, we're looking somewhere. Glory, 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 glory. This is so much. Hallelujah, Jesus. Here in Isaiah chapter 5,
Mike, Jesus, have mercy. Let's go up here on this computer and see what we have here. You are so good. Let us start at verses 26. He says, and he will lift up an ensign to the nations from far, and will hiss unto them from the end of the earth. And behold, they shall come with speed swiftly. None shall be weary nor stumble among them. None shall slumber nor sleep. Neither shall the girdle of their loins be loose, nor the latchet of their shoes be broken. Arrows are sharp, and all those bows bent. Their horses' hoof shall be counted like flint, and their wheels like a whirlwind. Their roaring shall be like a lion. They shall roar like young lions. Yeah. They shall roar and lay hold of the prey and shall carry it away safe, and none shall deliver it. And in that day, they shall roar against them like the roaring of the sea. And if one look unto the land, behold darkness and sorrow, and the light is darkened in the heavens thereof. God saying, now if you don't adhere to correction, turmoil is coming on you. Judgment is coming on you. You know what I love about the God that we serve? That he is so faithful that he always warns us before he do a thing. He always send warning by the prophets. Go to Jeremiah chapter 10. He always send warning by the prophet. The true prophet of God would get up on that altar and would preach sound doctrine. He would preach, he or she would preach the word that going to bring conviction. Folks sometimes don't want to come back to church for 2 or 3 days. You ever notice that? Well, you can always tell where you're preaching sound doctrine. And you go, the folks say, I'm not going back down there because the pastor, every time I go, he's talking with me. Go to Jeremiah chapter 10. Let us start at verse 19. He said, woe is me for my hurt. My wounds is grievous. But I said, truly, this is a grief. And I must bear it. No. Half of you. But when it comes, you got to be willing to take the whipping. I knew when I was a young man, I would mess. I told, like I said, I was very rebellious. I know when mama said coming at a certain time, I would still want to be outside playing. I didn't do a lot of bad things, but I would, you know, just want to play. Want to play with the other boys and girls out there playing. And when I get home, I would get chastised. Because if I was supposed to be home at 6 o'clock, soon as the sun began to, because in the country you can tell the sun setting, you know, you can see it going down on the water. I was telling somebody out there, you can look and see the sun. It looked like it's in the water. If you out on the coast, and we close, our house was close to the ocean, so you can see the sun. It almost looked like it's in the water. That's how it looked. And mama said, when you see that sun start setting, boy, you better get your back in the house. You know, just get your so-and-so. Get certain time. Well, we're still outside playing. And sometime I come in, it's 8 o'clock. I was supposed to be home by 6:15 or 6:10 or something like that. I come in 8:15, 8:30. Well, I'm going to get a whipping. I'm going to get chastised because I'm disobedient. You see? And God is saying to us,
He said, woe is me for my hurt. My wound is grievous, painful. But I said, truly, this is my grief. I caused this grief. I caused this pain, and I must bear it. My tabernacle is spoiled, and all my cords are broken. My children are gone. My children are gone forth of me. They left home, and they are not. There is none to stretch forth my tent anymore and to set up my curtain. See, God is speaking loud. You look at the house of worship now. They have nice sanctuary, nice pews, and the pews are half empty. Why? Because the people have gone astray. God told you. They're doing their own thing. They're not interested in fellowshipping. They're not interested in seeking God. So what we got to do, we got to go after them. We can't sit up in the four walls and say they're going to come. We got to evangelize. We got to go in the streets, in the highways, in the hedges, just like when God sent out the apostles, two by two. We got to go up. We got to set up people. Give them tracts and soil and send them out. The pastor may not be here. Pastor can't go everywhere. He can't study all night and all week and come and preach on Sunday and Wednesday night and Saturday morning and still go evangelizing too. So we have to train people to go out into the highway and train them so they know how to evangelize. Not just send them out and say, well, John 3:16. You got to train them how to be compassionate. Key word, compassionate, full of love. Hallelujah. Because you're not going to reach anyone out there in the highway and hedges if you have an attitude. If you can't stand them when they're smelly. Because a lot of people you out there you ministering to, they smell. They smell like alcohol. They perspiration's up. They haven't had a shower. The breath is bad. You have to be willing to stand all this stuff and reach them with the word of God, with love, compassion. He said, with love and kindness have I drawn thee. So how are you going to draw them? With love and kindness. You have to release the same thing that he released. So let me go into this word. He says, verse 21, for the pastors are become brutish and have not sought the Lord. Therefore they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered. Do you hear what God is saying? Now you wonder why a lot of people are not in the church building. And somebody was saying the other day on Facebook, that there are hundreds, if not thousands, of churches that are closing the doors. They're closed. They got padlocks on the doors. Ain't nobody going and begging the pastor, can I use your church building? Can I use your church building to start a ministry? Ain't nobody going seeking that. So the doors are closed and padlocked. Because God said it right here. He said, for the pastors have become brutish and have not sought the Lord. They have not sought the Lord to what to do or what to say. Therefore, they shall not prosper, and all the flock shall be scattered. See? Here in my Bible, it said that the shepherds have become stupid. That's a footnote in my Bible, that the shepherds have become stupid. They started doing their own thing, setting up the house of the Lord the way they want to set their way, not the way God said to set it up. They're not preaching what God said to preach. Hallelujah. They're trying to do stuff to convince people that this is it. And God calls in the people to just go. Behold the noise of the brutish. Behold the noise of the brute. Is come, and a great commotion out of the north country to make the cities of Judah desolate and a den of dragons. Do you hear that? There's a voice in the earth right now that the people are crying out against truth. They don't want to hear it. They're telling you straight up. We don't want to hear any truth. Don't tell us about Jesus. Don't tell us about salvation. Don't tell us about the cross. Don't tell us about the blood. We don't want to hear that over blood. We're having a good time. I was looking, my daughter sent me, I just delete that stuff from my page. My daughter sent me stuff from, you know, I told you all, in here in the United States, they have in some cities, you have what you call Mardi Gras carnival. In the country, they call it Crop Over Festival. And it was in town. They come through the town, in Bridgetown. And she sent me a picture, sent me the of it. She says, oh, Dad, I wasn't feeling so good and all this stuff. She said, she's in Georgia. And my grandsons and my great-grandsons and great-granddaughters. And she's telling me, she said, well, Daddy, I couldn't even be able to watch the show, the video. Somebody sent her, some mother sent her. And he said, but you going to watch it? Well, I turned on the thing to see how the crowd was doing, you know. Got all the people coming from different Caribbean islands, different musicians and stuff, and entertainers. And the women on the street, you know how they do a parcel over Mardi Gras? The women on the street, it looked like they got on a panty and a bra. And some got the thing we call a thong where they got just a string going through the behind, through the crack of the behind. And the cheeks, the butt cheeks are sticking out. Some of the breasts, you can got just one little button on the breast. A little button look like a button. A little dollar bill, a silver dollar, you know. Look like as big as a silver dollar on the nipples, and all the rest of the breasts is exposed. I said, I don't want to fall that stuff. So I just said, after I saw all that stuff going on, and the women doing the backup, we call it backing up, doing the twerking and stuff, and the backing up on the men, and backing up on other women, but backing up, and men backing up on men. I said, man, I don't need that stuff. So I just deleted it off my page, you know, because that's what they want now. This is what the world is craving for. It's like Sodom and Gomorrah all over again. They like this promiscuity, or what you call it, this lustful generation that is going on now, that they don't want to hear what's good. They said, I'm not interested in that. People got crosses on their body, tattooed on their body, upside down crosses, and 666 on them. And they believe that they're going, and some say that, I can't wait to go to hell, like hell is a party place. Ain't no party down there. He says, oh, Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. See, man don't order his steps. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. But if you're not walking in righteousness, your steps are ordered by the devil. The devil gonna have you walking away that is away from God. Hallelujah, glory to God. Listen what he said. Oh, Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thy anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. Hallelujah. We need chastisement. We need to be corrected. Hallelujah. Not in God's anger, because you're not going to be able to stand before angry God. But you have to be willing when the man of God come and bring correction. He's speaking for God. He's God, man. The woman of God, she is God's mouthpiece. I'm talking about the woman of God, a man of God that is walking upright before the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Not trying to put on some show. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Take the correction. And say, Lord, I thank you for correcting me. But you go back and you have a whole bunch of stuff going on. You're acting up. Hallelujah, glory to God. You acting up because you don't want to hear truth. You don't want truth that's going to give you life. This is what truth does. It gives life. What did Job say? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Job, let's go to Job. Job, let's hit this last verse here, and then we go to Job. Oh, my God. He said, oh, Lord, correct me, but with judgment. Not in thy anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. Pour out thy fury upon the heathen that know thee not, and upon the families that call not on thy name. For they have eaten up Jacob and devoured him and consumed him and have made his habitation desolate. Empty. Job chapter 18 and 21. Let's go to Job. Let's hit this word here, Father David. Oh, God, have mercy. Thank you, Jesus. Job. And we're going to hit Job a couple of Job here. And then we, of course, we'll Job 18:21 says, surely such are the dwelling of the wicked, and this is the place of him that knoweth not God. See, that place is hell. Place of wickedness, torment. Hallelujah, glory to God. Burning, pain. That place, if you don't know God, you're going to go through, seem like you're going through all types, seem like hell is breaking up, right, like you're living hell right now. Because you have chosen not to listen to the word of God, not to hear the word of God. You said some people put their hands, their fingers in their ears when the preacher was preaching. I thought the other night. Put their fingers in their ears. I was watching a video, excuse me, and the man was saying, the preacher was saying, oh, this is awesome day in the Lord. So I looked as they were scanning the congregation. I could see some people really enjoying the word. But then I would see some other people that they look so angry. They're in the sanctuary of God. And they look so angry while the preacher is on the altar preaching with fire. And he was preaching some doctrine to our ear. And I said, wow, if you're going to be in the audience, in the congregation, you know cameras moving around, well, you're looking so like you bite a sour lemon or something, or you bite a hot pepper. Man, something is wrong with you. With the word of God going forth like that, you ought to hallelujah, praise the Lord. You ought to have a smile on your face, giving God glory for what God is feeding you. What a great supper. I said, wow, I want to be. Job chapter 13. Job chapter 13. Oh, my Lord. I'm telling you, this word is where the word is. He says, Job chapter 13, verse 15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain my own ways before him. Job said, look, I'm going to be who God called me to be. Because we know that Job was a righteous man. Job said he's going to maintain his own ways before the Lord. He's not going to change. He's going to stay who he is before the Lord. God is still correcting Job. He's still chastising Job. He's still allowing Job to go through because Job is not perfect, but he was a righteous man, but he wasn't perfect. Only God is perfect. Job 37. Job 37. Hallelujah. Job 37. Hallelujah. We have to be corrected. If you don't want nobody to correct, you better stay home. Stay and close the door behind you. Because if you don't want correction, you're going to end up where you don't want to end up. I'm telling you right now. People get mad. As soon as you correct them, they're not coming back to church. They're not going back to the prayer line. They're not coming to the service. I'm not going to revival because last week, the preacher called me out. He didn't have to call me out, but he called me. God loves you so much. God loves you so much that he called you out to correct you. He don't let you die in your sin. He loves you so much that he let his son die in your place, in our place. Psalm 37 and verses 13. He causes it to come whether for correction or for his land or for mercy. Do you hear what Job is saying? That God causes it, correction, chastisement to come, whether for correction or for his land or for mercy. Hearken unto this, O Job. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Does thou know when God disposed them and caused the light of his cloud to shine? Dost thou know the balances of the clouds, the wondrous works of him which is perfect in knowledge? How thy garments are warm when he quieteth the earth by the south wind. You know, sometimes we wonder how we complain about everything, but we can't even fathom how God changes the atmosphere, how he changes the wind, how he changes the clouds, how he causes rain to come. We can't even fathom how God does all that stuff. But yes, sir, when God is chastising us, we complain. Job chapter 5. Go to Job chapter 5. Glory to God. Ooh, I'm talking about without correction, there's no growth. Hallelujah. You see a son, a child that don't want to be corrected, and you'll see how bad that child is. You'll see how bad that child become. But the child that is corrected and understand correction and receive correction, you says, I love that child. You'll tell yourself I love because you can see the growth in that child. Listen to Job chapter 5 and verse 17. He says, behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. You hear that? For he maketh sore and he bindeth up. He woundeth and his hand maketh whole. He shall deliver thee in six troubles. Yea, in seven there shall no evil touch thee. In famine, listen to God, in famine he shall redeem thee from death, and in war from the power of the sword. Thou shalt be hid from the scourge of the town. People can say stuff, but you'll be protected against all that they say, every word that come out their mouth. Neither shalt thou be afraid of destruction when it cometh. At destruction and famine thou shalt laugh. Neither shalt thou be afraid of the beasts of the earth. For thou shalt be in league with the stones of the field, and the beasts of the field shall be at peace with thee. And thou shalt know that thy tabernacle shall be in peace, and thou shalt visit thy habitation and shall not sin. Thou shalt know also that thy seed shall be great, and thine offspring and thy offspring as the grass of the earth, thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, like a shock of corn cometh in his season. Lo this, we have searched it, so it is. Hear it and know it for thy good. Know it what? No correction. Correction is for your good. It is not for your bad. Hallelujah. Go up now to Jeremiah chapter. Let's go to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. Let's go there. Proverbs chapter 23. Lord God have mercy. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 23. We have to put stuff on here because people are listening. Oh, my Lord, I got some people in New York City that is just, they're just going on there for. Proverbs 23 and 13. Withhold not correction from thy child. Listen to what Solomon says. Withhold not correction from thy child. For if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. My son, if thy heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. This is what Solomon says. My son, if thy heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, and even, yeah, my ears shall rejoice his thoughts. Even when thy lips speak right things, let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. See, if you take corrections, you're going to have a great expectation. If a child take correction, I said that earlier, the father and mother going to rejoice. Hallelujah. And I've seen a thing on the web. And this boy was saying that he had made it big. And he says, you know, I remember the neighborhood that I grew up in. And the other young men that I grew up and been in school with, and how they had turned to these gangs and all these different things they were doing. He says, but my mama would always tell me, don't get involved. Don't get caught up in this stuff. He said, and the good thing, my mama sent me away to live with my aunt. He says, and all the things that my mama has said to me had been before my eyes. Because in my aunt's city, that his aunt was living in some one of them cities, Chicago or Idaho or some kind of city, one of them cities where there's a lot of people that they do a lot of stuff. Michigan somewhere. But anyway, he went to this place and the same stuff was going. He couldn't get away from it. It was everywhere. But what his mama had told him, was telling him, came before him as a light to his path. He says, I am now a wealthy man. I got business. I got people working for me. He said, and I know my mama is happy. She's pleased. Why? He says, I know when my mama was calling me in and I had to leave my friends or associates outside playing and acting up, and they were, some of them were dealing dope and stuff. He said they were mocking me and stuff. He says, and I didn't feel good when I had to go inside sometimes. But I know that my mama had the best in her mind for me. And that boy made it big. Chastise your sons, your daughters, your grandchildren. Tell them the truth. Even when you got to shout at them, explain the reason why you shouting at them. Tell them what the outcome could be. Proverbs chapter 3 and 12. He says, for the Lord corrects those he loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. You hear this? This is the word of God. We're not making this thing up. Solomon says, my child, verse 11, don't reject the Lord's discipline and don't be upset when he corrects you. You know, most people don't want correction. The Lord is not coming down from his throne in glory and said, David, don't do that. But he's going to tell Apostle Short, Minister Jones, or he's going to tell Evangelist Campbell, a boxer, or somebody to tell me. Hallelujah. No, they're coming and telling you, don't reject it. God is giving you sound correction because he loves you. He has a plan for your life. Proverbs chapter 29. Oh, my God. I'm telling you something. This thing is good. I know some people out there in Ghana and in Nairobi, Kenya, in India, in the Caribbean, they're going to eat this up. Because Jesus says in your own town, in the prophet's own town, the people don't regard him. They don't regard him as who he is. There's no honor. But you go outside. And everybody wants you. They want to come. You know, prophet so-and-so is preaching tonight. So-and-so, listen. He says in Proverbs 29 and 17, he says, discipline your children, and they will give you peace of mind and will make your heart glad. When people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. But whosoever obeys the law of is joyful. Verse 19 says, words alone will not discipline a servant. The words may be understood, but they are not heeded to. There is more hope for a fool than for someone who speaks without thinking. Hallelujah. We have to realize what we are saying to the kids and how we say it to them. Because why? We want them to receive what God is saying. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. I'm taking you all over this book. Hebrews chapter 12. We're talking about without correction, there is no growth. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 9. Since we respected our earthly fathers who discipline us, shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline of the Father of our spirits? and live forever? He said, for our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing the best they know how. But God's discipline is always good for us, so that we might share in his holiness. No discipline, verse 11, no discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It's painful, but afterwards there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. So take a new grip, tired hands, and strengthen your weak knees. Mark out a straight path for your feet, so that those who are weak and lame will not fall but become strong. See, this is what discipline does. Hallelujah, glory to God. Holy Spirit. Jeremiah chapter 2. Oh, Jesus, help us, Father. Help us, Father, to receive this word with gladness, oh God, that we can come who you call us to be, Lord. Oh, Lord, we thank you. Jeremiah chapter 2. Let's go to verses 19. Your wickedness will bring its own punishment. Your turning from me will shame you. You will see what an evil, bitter thing it is to abandon the Lord, your God, and not to fear him. I, the Lord of heaven's army, have spoken. When we reject the chastening of the Lord, hell is there waiting. Because it's going to feel just like hell. You hear what I'm saying? It's going to feel like hell. Jeremiah chapter 30. Jeremiah chapter 30. We need this thing. We need to be corrected, and we need to correct people. We need to do exactly what God says to do. And we, as leaders, have to be willing to be corrected. Some people conjure stuff to make you feel bad. But if it's true correction from the Lord, you will know. Jeremiah says, for I am with you and will save you, says the Lord. I will completely destroy the nations where I have scattered you, but I will not completely destroy you. I will discipline you, but with justice. I cannot let you go unpunished. See, God sees every time that when we error, God sees our error. But he is always willing. He's always willing to correct us. All we need to do is be willing to receive the correction. Sometimes we don't. The Bible says, don't fail to discipline your children. The rod of punishment won't kill them. Physical discipline may well save them from death. Solomon says this. Physical discipline may save them from death. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for the word that you have given us today. We have taken the time to research the scriptures as you have shown us. And, O God, we have delivered the message as the messenger. O God, we didn't come in here showing that we know it all or we have it all or we can do it all. Because we are being disciplined even by this very word that you have allowed us to release today. You have disciplined us as a father disciplined his children. And I just want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for disciplining me and for giving me a greater understanding of what you are saying to me. I've been praying for this and seeking God for this. And God is pouring it into me now. like never before. Because I prayed to the Lord to grant me wisdom and a greater understanding to deliver his message to the people. You know, I have to go into church building on Sunday morning, teach and preach, and we're going to be going in there some night in the week. We have to put it together to what night we want to go, because the church is also, she rents out the church also to another pastor, so I don't know what night he goes in there. So I have to figure that out. I have to go in there this week and put on, change two locks, put two new locks on the front, you know, and since we're going to have a lot of stuff up in that building, I'm going to put some cameras on it, you know, because it's not her stuff. It's going to be my stuff that's going up in the on that building. So I got to put some cameras on there because, you know, I'm talking about thousands of dollars of stuff. I got to put some cameras on the building because I'm like a good 45 minutes to an hour away from the church building. You know, at least if we got cameras on and alarm system, if somebody break down the door, you know, the police station down the street, the police would come up the road and try to see what they can do, you know. So we got to do all that. So, but Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. Thank you for the word that you've given us. And thank you for those that came on today. Thank you for Apostle Stewart and Deacon Fraser. Okay, this is Pastor Vic calling me now. Now, give me 1 second. Yeah. Praise the Lord. She just called me from what's going on. But I'm thanking God for you all came on the word today and hear this word today. I know this word blessed me and it blessed my heart to even be able to release it. But the Lord gave me this word this morning. I didn't have it last night. He gave it to me this morning. I was laying there on the bed and I was waiting to hear from the Lord. And then he dropped that in my spirit. And, you know, we say it candidly on the line, without correction, there's no growth. We say it candidly, you know, but this morning, the Lord just dropped. He said, this is the truth. This is what, if people don't be corrected, they're not going to grow. You know, we just see people coming, they teach, they preach, they sing, they dance, and they go. They hear the word, they go. But if people don't correct, you don't correct people in your ministry, guess what happened? You have a wayward ministry. It's a wayward ministry. You have to correct people. And then when you see, I don't care if they're your sister, brother, uncle, aunt, cousin, grandson, granddaughter, you have to correct them. You have to correct them so they will grow. Hallelujah. You don't want to be responsible for them, their error, and God bring it on you, because God said, I put it in your hand to watch over this flock. But you don't correct them. When you see them going around, you don't correct them now. So I got to charge you. But he said, look, he says, if you don't sound the alarm, you don't sound the trumpet when the sword comes, and they die, their blood on you. See, so you got to say, this sword, this alarm is a correction. You got to sound the alarm so they'll be ready and start and live the life that will save their souls. So, Father, we just thank you and praise you, O God, for the word. What a strong, anointed word you have given us today to get it together, help the people to grow, and help the people, oh God, to focus on the things that will bring them closer to you. We are praying right now, Father God, that even as we open this line for anyone that are still out there in the world that are living their life according to the world system and they don't know Jesus, take the opportunity this morning to call out on Jesus. Call out for Jesus. You know, just call out and say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross, that you were crucified, that you were buried, and that the Father raised you up on the... I believe that the Word of God says that if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that God raised you, Jesus, from the dead, I will be saved. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whosoever believe on him, or in him, should not be ashamed. So if you believe in Jesus, you will not be ashamed. The Bible says that you must repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and that you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But you have to start repenting. Repentance just means simply that you have to make a decision in your life that you're going to turn away from your lifestyle of sin. That means that you might have to cut loose or sever yourself from some family members, some friends, some associates, even from some co-workers. That don't mean you hate the people. If you say, well, I can't do from my family. No, that don't mean that you don't say hello or goodbye or welcome or something, but you just is not going to sit down and fellowship with them because they are walking contrary to the walk that you want to walk right now. They're living contrary to the life that you want to live right now. You have to make that decision. It is your soul that you are fighting to save. You're fighting that you wouldn't go to hell. Jesus is the one going to save your soul. But Paul said you got to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You have to make that decision. Some things you're going to have to do that you don't want to do, but you have to do if you want to live to see Jesus as the Lord, as Savior, as King. Now the Bible says that there's only one name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It says only one name. That name is Jesus. And this is how Peter said it. He said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That name is Jesus. The Bible said that when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. And they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. See, when you get this thing, people are going to look at you different. But they're going to recognize the change that they've seen taking place in your life, that you had an encounter with Jesus Christ. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:6. In John 3:7 it says, that God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John 3:19b says that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Hallelujah. God says in Paul says in Romans chapter 5 and 8, that God commanded his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. While we were yet sinning, Christ died for us. He was on the cross while you were doing whatever you were doing. He was paying your debt. He was on the cross paying the debt that you, for the sin that you would commit even before you came into the world. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. It also said in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All, A-double-L, you, me, everybody on this face of this earth. We all have the DNA, the characteristics of Adam and Eve. The sin nature is in our flesh. Even when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that flesh still want to act up. That's why you have to study every day. You have to get with people that are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, people that are studying the Word, living the Word. You got to connect with people that even when your flesh is acting up, that you can call somebody and talk to them so you they can encourage you how to stay strong, because the flesh is still going to want to sin. Your soul man, your spirit man is being saved, is delivered by the blood, washed with the blood, cleansed by the blood, made whole by his death. Bible says, you must know, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. This salvation we're talking about is a free gift. Nobody can give it to you but Jesus. Only Jesus. Not your mama, not your daddy, not your husband, your wife, not your children. Not your brother or sister, uncle or aunt, cousin, not niece or nephew. Only Jesus. When you submit and commit to him, give your life, surrender your life completely over to him, Jesus into your heart spiritually, and he takes over your life, leading and guiding you. That's when you're submitted and committed. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except through him. So you have to accept Jesus. You have to allow him to take over your life, to take control, to lead you, be the shepherd of your life and the keeper of your soul. You got to allow him. Listen, he's not going to let you be helpless. That's why he says he's going to send the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is going to come and flood your heart. He's going to bring everything to your remembrance that Jesus has said. That's why we all of us need to study the word every day. Every day. Don't wait till Sunday. Don't wait till you go back to the church building. Don't wait till midweek till you go to midweek service. Every day, get your Bible in. Hallelujah. Open your Bible and go in there and start to put the word in your heart. And that means you may have to write some flashcards, get some little flashcards, and write scriptures out so you can practice them, so you can hide them scriptures in your heart that you will not sin against God. Go over and over and over and over. And once you get yourself, you're feeling now that feeling better about yourself, call up a pastor, preacher, teacher, say, look, because they said in Mark chapter 16 that you got to be baptized, you know. Peter said, you got to repent and be baptized. But Mark let you know that you must be baptized. It's part of your salvation. You might hear people tell, well, the thief on the cross didn't get baptized, but he was in a different dispensation. But in this dispensation, the requirement is that this is part of your salvation. Jesus said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it should not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. See, baptism is powerful. It's powerful. It connects you, fully connects you to Jesus, to his death and to his burial and to his resurrection. That's what baptism does. It connects you. Hallelujah. So now you want to say this quick prayer that he's going to me right now. Lord Jesus, give me the prayer that you would have me to say to these people all over the world that's going to receive salvation. And even those, if you're backslidden or if you are in a backslidden stage, you can say this same prayer to rededicate. Tell the Lord that you want to rededicate your life. You just tell him that, Lord, I'm coming back. I'm saying this prayer with this man. I'm rehearsing this prayer. Oh, God, I'm reciting this prayer with this man because, Lord, I know that I have went away and I've done some things that I shouldn't have done. And if you are coming in for the first time, you want to call us, say, Lord Jesus, go say it with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe in the word that says that you were crucified at Calvary. I hear it called Golgotha or the skull. I believe this, oh, God, according to the word of God, that you died on that cross. The righteous for the unrighteous, the just for the unjust. You died, the king died for the peasant like me, Lord. And Lord Jesus, today I have heard the word. And Lord, I thank you for chastising me today and convicting me in my spirit that I need to live better. But today I'm denouncing Satan and all of his agents and this world system, all that it stands for. Jesus, I'm letting go of every materialistic thing that I wanted to hold on to that kept me from you, Lord. The world system had me in bondage. But today, Lord Jesus, I'm letting loose of everything. And I'm asking you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart. Receive me as your child. Wash me in your blood. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Make me whole again, O God. O God, refurbish me to be the child that you called me to be, O God. I desire to be more like you and less like myself and the world. Jesus, I accept you now as my Lord, my Savior, and my soon coming King. If you just said that on common prayer, I believe you have just received the gift of salvation. Now you want to be baptized. Call up a pastor, preacher, teacher. And before you get baptized, and this pastor going to baptize you, he know how to baptize in Jesus' name. You call up your friends, your family, your co-workers, even your enemies. Because you want them to know that you have made this decision. Nobody forced you to it. Nobody's paying you to do it. You are going into this decision to serve the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior on your own accord. And when you're going down in that water, which we call the liquid grave, you are saying to everybody, all the spectators, all the visitors that are watching, that you have given your life to Christ. You have surrendered. You have submit, and you're committing to the way of
salvation, the way of righteousness, the way of holiness. That's what you're seeing right now. And you're going down that water. When you come up, my Lord, you are declaring that everything that held you in captivity, you left behind you in the grave. You went down, you died with Jesus, and you're coming out the grave alive with Jesus and righteousness. Now find a church that's preaching and teaching the gospel and get yourself involved. Don't be a spectator. You have a lot of spectators that go to the house of the Lord, and that's all they do, spectate. They say, well, I like the word I heard today. The preacher sure preached good this morning. I can't wait till next week. Well, next week the Bible is sitting on the coffee table or the nightstand or somewhere in the house or maybe still in the car for the whole week till Sunday comes. Then they pick up the Bible and go back in the house again. They haven't studied it. They haven't rehearsed any of the scripture. They haven't said any of the scripture to anybody. But you want to be a part of the kingdom of God. You want to do some work in the kingdom. You want to be a worker in the kingdom, okay? And get yourself involved. And I praise God for you and those that rededicate their life. I thank God for you. I don't take it lightly. Every time that somebody received the gift of salvation, wherever country that they're in, and they did it because of Block Talk Radio, all names are being checked next to their name, that we have taken the time to tell them of Jesus Christ, the love of Jesus Christ, and the compassion of Jesus Christ. He doesn't care what your sin is. That's what he did for, to wash your sins away. Don't let the devil tell you that because you're a homosexual, a lesbian, a prostitute, or you're a gangbanger, you're a dope pusher, a dope seller, or whatever your vice is. Don't let the devil tell you that he's not going to receive you. You come, you go to him just the way you are, in the sinful nature that you have, sinful acts that you commit, and lay yourself before him. He is the good shepherd. He will take you up and put you on his shoulder and carry to a place of safety. That's what Jesus does to all the lost that come to him. God bless you all, and thank you for receiving salvation. Now I'll open the line, see if anybody have a word to share. If not, we're going to pray and close out. And we'll be back here again on tomorrow if the Lord God say the same. God bless you all. The line is open. Thank you, and we praise you, O God, for this day. We thank you for the word that you have given us today. Thank you for those that were able to come on and hear the word. And thank you for the ones that had to jump off to go back to work. We pray that you give them that are out there driving and working, give them traveling mercy. Lord, we pray for Apostle Stewart, Pastor Joyce Stewart. We pray for their ministry. We pray for their family and for all those that are close, connected to them. We lift up the apostle and lift up the pastors. Oh, God, we just pray today that you, oh, God, rain down righteousness upon them. Lord, we pray for Apostle Washington, Apostle Bishop Washington. Pray for Apostle Millie. We pray for Deacon Fraser and Evangelist Brown, Pastor Brown and Evangelist Campbell, Evangelist Sheila, Prophetess Jackie, always texting me all the time. We thank you for an apostle, can't remember her name. I think we pray for Apostle, for Prophetess Hershey, oh God, and Minister Jones, oh God. We pray, Father God, even today for Apostle LeGrand and for Evangelist Curtis and Blanche, Lord. We pray for the people of God. We pray for their Pastor Vic, oh God, and we pray for all those that are in her ministry, Pastor Rose Bonner, Lord. We lift them up right now, Pastor Bonner. Lord, we lift them up. We pray for Bishop Hansel in the Bahamas, Lord. We pray for them right now, and Apostle Adukasa in Ghana. Hope I get his name right. Pastor Milwa in Kenya. Lord, we just pray today for the people of Pastor Gudish and India. Lord, we pray today that you touch these men and women of God. And Father God, that you enlighten them, that you, oh God, that you ignite their hearts, oh God, to serve, oh God, and to proclaim the truth, oh God, with power and with authority.
and that they begin to speak with fire, oh God. We pray, Father God, that they speak with compassion, with mercy, with grace, and with love, oh God, that people, many, will come from darkness to light and receive the light of God to live the life that glorifies you. Father, we ask that you continue to add to the ministry that you have put us to be the watchman over, and even all these ministries that are represented here on Blog Talk Radio, add to the ministries that many souls will be saved from hell. And Father, we'll be so careful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Father, bless us in the city, bless us in the field, bless us when we come, and bless us when we go. Father, we ask you to continue to make us the head and not the tail. Set us above and not beneath. Lord, bless our country. Bless the United States of America. Bless the Africa and India and China and Japan, Afghanistan, and, oh God, Iraq and Iran. Bless Syria. Bless Israel, Jerusalem. Oh God, bless France, Germany, Amsterdam, Canada, all the Caribbean islands, Windward and Leeward Islands. Lord, we pray right now for blessings, oh God. We pray, oh God, that you, oh God, hold back the strong man. Oh God, hold back the evil spirit, thou God, that's in the earth right now. Send it back to the pit of hell, oh God, and release the love of God in the earth, that people begin to love unconditional love, love each other, have compassion for each other, instead of pulling each other down like crabs in a bucket, Lord, that they begin to love on each other and care for each other. And Father, we are careful this day to give you all the honor and all the glory. Now may the grace of our Lord and the love of the Holy Spirit continue to rest and abide upon us. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Remember to tell somebody that God loved them, you love them, and Jesus is the only way. It may be the word that you speak today in somebody's ear gate that will make all the difference in their lives. It might stop someone from committing suicide, stop someone from committing murder, from kidnapping a child, raping a child, sodomizing a child, or even breaking into someone's home and committing some heinous crime. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, to let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. That just means that all the things, all the attributes of Jesus Christ will be seen in your life, in your walk, and how you do things, how you say things, how you respond to people. In Jesus' name. We love you guys so much. So have a blessed day, and let you know that we appreciate you. Even when you come on and not able to say a word, we do appreciate you. We'll always appreciate you because we are brothers and we are sisters in Christ. God bless you. God keep you. God cause his face to shine upon you. And God give you peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Have a blessed day, safe day, and pay attention to your surroundings, okay? Because so much stuff is going on out there today, you have to pay attention. I am telling you, there's a lot of wickedness in the earth right now, so pay attention. God bless you. Bye-bye.